world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I got a lot of things on my mind today. A lot of stuff I want to talk about. A lot of things are happening so fast. It's really pretty hard to keep up with. And just let me hammer a few things here as we get going. I've been following closely Scott Shar, Gracie's dad, his case in Wisconsin, which will be a landmark case, certainly. If Gracie's dad, if Scott wins that, look, do not resuscitate. It's called a DNR. DNR. When you're in the hospital, you can have on the chart, the person who's, what do they call that, who has the power of attorney, can put on the chart, do not resuscitate. Okay, very simple. Meaning that if the patient, in this case, Gracie, would fall into really, really traumatic, not doing well, and resuscitation would be putting her on a ventilator would be the only thing that would save her. The parents would have to have what's called a do not resuscitate. In other words, they would have to resuscitate her unless there was a DNR present. Paul Gosling's got his hand up, so I think it's important. Come on in, Paul. Help us out here.
So view it like this, Coach. We use DNRs and DNIs together when we have an elderly person who has sepsis, is 93 years old and has no quality of life, had a stroke. That's what we use it for. It's not for a young, healthy woman with nothing but love. I'm telling you, Coach, this is gonna blow things apart. This is a land. And the thing is, I hope people understand, this is wrongful death. This isn't a malpractice suit. This is wrongful death. This is going to open the gates up to reveal everything about medicine, how corrupt it actually is, Coach.
They withheld life-saving treatment for Gracie, didn't they? They killed her.
They gave her the drugs first, Coach, and then they made her DNI and gave her the lethal dose of drugs and watched her perish.
Unbelievable, folks. Unbelievable. And as Paul said, this is landmark, meaning when Scott Shar wins this case, my goodness, Coach, folks, the floodgates are going to be open to what the doctors did to us. So wrong, very good catch there, Paul. It's a wrongful death. Folks, they killed her. They killed her. Now, what they're going to try to do in the courtroom, hang on, I'm going someplace today, stay with me. What they're going to try to do, are you sitting down? One of the worst things that we have in the American judicial system is a jury of your peers. Let me ask you a question. What makes somebody your peer? For instance, is George Clooney my peer? He has an entirely different set of beliefs. Is he my peer? Is somebody who's promoting the LGBT agenda, is that my peer? Is that person allowed to sit and have judgment over my decisions when they don't understand, they're not saved, they're not Christian, they don't get it? Can a Christian go in front of a group of non-Christians and get justice? Is that a jury of our peers? Luciferians on the court, on the jury. Luciferians to decide guilt or innocence in a trial. Can they? So this idea that it's a jury of their peers no longer works. And the reason it no longer works, friends, when they put the American judicial system together, it was Christian, it was Christ-based. Oh boy, have we slipped a long way from that, right? So now we have an atheistic, godless, humanistic, secular court system. And sitting on that jury are 12 people. You don't have any idea what they believe. You don't have any idea whether they're mad at doctors. You don't have any idea whether they're mad at conspiracy theorists. And so Scott gets in there and he begins to talk about whatever, just telling the story about grace. And heard this on the internet and he heard that on the internet. I haven't watched it, but I know how this thing works, right? And so some guy's sitting on that jury and he's saying, oh, this guy's a kook. This guy. And I would bet this, somebody help me out here. I would bet you anything that the defense attorneys, I bet they're doing everything to make Scott look like a kook. Would anybody disagree with that? Their job is not to win the case on the merits. Their job is to make Scott Shara look like a freak, a conspiracy theorist nut. That's it, man. Folks, that's what is going on. Now, you can have a jury trial or you can have a trial by a judge. Which one's better? Which one's better, man? I don't know. So let me throw this in before I get too far down the road. Here is, understand this. Let me get Dr. Paul back in here. Paul, what is a DNR? Do not resuscitate. So here's Gracie. She's in the hospital. She has COVID, they say. They've given her all kinds of stuff. And then they go to the dad, I'm guessing, or the whoever power of attorney would be with, and say, if Grace happens to slip, would you want us to resuscitate her? And the power of attorney would say, no. And they would have to have that signed, wouldn't they, Paul? Have to have evidence that the family said, do not resuscitate her. Help me out here, Paul.
Well, if you're talking CPR, that's a big part of resuscitation. Plus all those cardiac meds to give to get the heart to start, like epinephrine. That's kind of where it's at, but it almost always fails anyway, Coach. Yeah. But in Grace's case, she wasn't sick. She wasn't sick. It was a deliberate act of murder, Coach.
I got you.
So do not intubate DNI. It's just do not intubate. Don't stick a tube down your throat. Yeah, a lot of us wanted that. I did that last surgery, when I had. But yeah, but DNR means as simple as just opening up the airway if somebody's choking. That's resuscitation to allow oxygen in.
And Paul, aren't they obligated by law to do life-saving measures if there's not a DNR?
Yeah, that's a given. That's the absolutely.
So all this other stuff, whether or not Scott Shar is a conspiracy theorist or any of that other stuff, ain't got nothing to do with it. I guess he's calling them white coats, calling the guys white coats, and sounds like a conspiratorial. They're trying to do everything they can to muddy the issue, folks. That's what's going on. They killed Grace. They killed her.
Yeah.
They murdered Grace. But you better understand the powerful, powerful forces behind the hospital. Because this will be a land. If this one falls, baby, Katie, bar the door. David Arthur, come on in, Dave.
Well, two things. But one is, as soon as I heard the story from her father, I just felt in my spirit like they just deemed her life, because there were challenges, not worthy. They did that purposely. But
right.
I wanted to go what you said about the jury of our peers. You know, when I caught my major felony, the one I wasn't guilty of, and I said to them, to the lawyer, I'm not guilty. She said, look at yourself in the mirror. You're a man. You look like a woman. You have breasts. She says, you will never get a jury of your peers. And you had better take this deal. And so not being able to get a jury of my peers landed me on a lifetime of paperwork that follows you for a lifetime. So
see, a real
there's no folks, such thing as a jury of peers.
A real peer is someone who shares your values. That's a peer. Some guy lives in inner city Chicago. He ain't my peer. It's not my peer. We understand
nowadays, Coach, the whole jury would have been my peer. 20 years ago, they couldn't find a jury of my peers. Today, the entire jury would be my peers.
Boy, that's a good point, Dave. That's a good point. So anyway, they expect this trial to go on for a couple weeks. I don't want to dedicate the whole show to this. This is really crucial, though, folks. This is the atomic bomb of medical, what would you call it, protocol. They killed her. They killed her. Paul, you still got your hand up? You want to come back in? No? It's okay. Okay if you don't. Vinny, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I just want let's make that point. The protocol is what killed Grace Shara. They can't get around that. I don't understand how a lawyer is even going to sit there and try any kind of nonsense offense. Their protocol is what murdered Grace Shara.
That's right. But see, I don't know, folks. The only way that they're going to win this case is they're going to try to, in my opinion, they're going to try to make Scott look like a freak, conspiracy theorist, nut. That's their only hope, I think. That's their only hope. Betty.
Yes, one of the things Scott said, too, is that the rating was, the percentage was higher for Down syndrome than any other people, you know. So they were after those kind of people, which is really
a useless eater, folks. Can we say the truth? The medical system would look at her as a useful eater. Scott Shara looked at her as a child of God, created in the image of God. His daughter. But the jury of his peers, are they going to see it that way? It's wicked, man. I'm telling you. Dale, then Jack. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dale.
Yes. So, you know, we had to deal with this with Michelle's mom, who went in and out of the hospital, in and out of ICU, really had a lot of some issues. And one of the things that my wife was telling me, and I'm sure Paul would concur, is that in the medical field, they can team up a team of doctors and have a meeting and override the parents and the medical attorney on these issues. Now, unless they did something like that, and how I say that is that they can look at it and say, well, the parent is incompetent, cannot make rational decisions. And so it takes a board of doctors to actually override the causes of the parents. Second point is, Coach, I got 3 points. Second point is the number one cause of death in America is malpractice in the medical field. So many people die in the hospital of being misdiagnosed. That's the second point. The third point, Coach, and this is the big one, whatever jurors on that thing, listen, most people treat doctors like they're gods. And most doctors think that they are gods.
We've let them be that way, haven't we, Dale? I got a video to show you here in a second. Jack, come on in.
This case is pretty unique. They were incentivized to have people die with COVID. The big
money.
Financial
they got money
incentive.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And so Grace looked like an easy mark, and Scott and his wife are very mild-mannered people. So it was simple. And so now, I mean, this is just going to work out absolutely amazing that Scott has finally manned up and said, oh, you people murdered my girl. And now we can bring all of them down because the malpractice doesn't even come into it. They criminally acted, and that's what he's going for. He's not going for malpractice and going to that kind of suit. This is a criminal murder case. And Amen. That doctor was being used by the system, and he thought, oh, here's one. We'll just chalk this one up, another $350,000 in the kitty, and we're done. Well, he got a surprise, and we better pray that it works.
Amen. Amen. Let me shift gears on. Okay, we're going to continue to follow this. Those of you maybe can give up updates on what's going on. I don't have time to sit around and watch it all day, although a lot of people are. I'm glad that you are. But don't lose sight of the fact. Don't lose sight of the fact. She did not have do not resuscitate. They had a moral legal obligation to use life saving techniques to save her, and they didn't. They didn't. At the bottom line, that's it. And they'll try to muddy it as much as they can. Their treatment, or lack thereof, murdered her. Murdered her. Amen? Huh? That's pretty simple. That's about jury of our peers. So I'm going to show you something. This is kind of a little bit different, maybe, but I think it's we need to see. Pull up number letter B for me. Letter B. Letter B. We're shifting gears here a little bit, but I want to show you all this. Oh, by the way, I won't say who, but the person knows who it is, and I. David Arthur has a ticket, an airline ticket to come to the event. Again, folks, you can come to the. Get my brain to kick in here this morning to the annual event at Sky High. Free. Got to register. Got to register so we know that you're coming. But you can come free. And someone in the queue, I made it available. So a lot of you did, really, for David to be able to get here. So I want you to know that he's going to be here, and that's all good. Can you pull up number three for me? Letter B for me, Spence.
Hey, Coach, can I throw one quick thing in here? There's also, yes. I forgot, there's also a conspiracy charge between the nurse and the doctor. The nurse was part of carrying out the doctor's incentive. So there's a conspiracy charge also.
Amen. What a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Okay, I want to play this for you because this is what we're dealing with, folks. Hey, friends. Look, are you guys looking at me? I know you are. Everybody knows what a man is, don't you? We all know what a man is. Why are we letting this go on, other than it's Luciferian? Why are we having arguments over whether or not a man is a woman or a woman is a man? Why is it when we get our elected officials or we get experts, ask them, what is a woman? They can't answer. What is going on? Something deep, deep and dark is going on here, right? Little people created in the image of God, male and female, he made him male and female. You cannot have a child without sperm and an egg, male and female. We all know what a male is, and we all know what a female is. Can somebody explain to me why we're having these debates? Isn't there somebody that can stand up and say very clearly, here's what a man is, and here's what a woman is? Why are we having it? So I want to play this Nancy Mace. I kind of like her. She's spunky. And just listen to this is about transgender athletes. And I want you to listen to the ridiculousness of this. Just listen, huh? It is a mental, it is a spiritual illness. Spiritual illness. So House Doge Committee holds hearings on inclusion of transgender athletes in women's sports. Should a man be able to say he's a woman and play in girls' sports? Now, let me stop. I have firsthand information. The Dobbenmeyer family, Michelle and I, we had two wonderful female athletes. Excuse me. Both of them. Maggie played softball at Marietta College 4 years. Abby played softball 4 years at Hillsdale College. Neither one of them could have ever played on the boys' team. Neither one. And Title IX, if we remember what Title IX was all about years and years and years ago, was to have equal opportunity to girls. That's when, anybody remember, other than me, when they used to have what was called the GAA, Girls Athletic Association, way back in the late 60s, when they finally started to have sports for girls. Anybody remember that other than me? Right? We all remember that, right? We all remember that. And so our daughters were lucky enough to go to a school where they had girls softball, not just a baseball team that everybody played on, boys and girls. No, girls softball, girls basketball, girls track. We all know that, where it was. And now, after Title IX and after women fought so hard to get equal opportunities for women, folks, the women's libbers, the feminists, are not standing up for women. What is going on? What is, oh, I know. Satan's the author of confusion, isn't he? So let's listen here. It's a few minutes. I like this Nancy Mace. Go ahead and play it.
who were assigned a female.
You say you're here to defend women. You say you're here to defend women, but shouldn't you be able to define one? Shouldn't you be able to define one if you're for women's rights?
That's literally what I'm
saying. Ms. Goss Graves, do women have penises?
I believe that women.
Democrats have gone so crazy. Women can have penises. That's not a thing. That's not biology. It's not science. And you sound like a lunatic.
And the women.
Should young girls just get used to penises in their locker rooms and showers? My next question, yes or no? Should little girls get used to penises in their locker rooms and showers? Yes or no?
I know what you're talking about, but what I will say.
Oh, I absolutely do. We've heard testimony today about trans women. Those are women with penises. Those aren't real women.
Privacy in locker
rooms. I'm going to reclaim my time. When President Trump issued an executive order to keep men out of women's sports, thank God he did. You said it was sexist.
Yes.
Bullying that harms all students.
Correct.
Is it sexist, yes or no, to protect women from men in sports? Yes or no?
If you
can't answer the question, is it sexist to acknowledge basic science? Men and women are built differently. Is it sexist to acknowledge science? Can't answer the question. Does forcing little girls to strip down in front of men in locker rooms harm girls? Does forcing little girls to strip down in front of men in the locker room harm little girls? Yes or no? Can't answer the question. Does forcing little girls to shower? I'm going to reclaim my time. You can quit talking. These are yes or no questions. You can answer them or not. And you've chosen not to answer the questions today because you don't know how.
I know.
It's shameful.
I know how to answer.
Do you support drugging and chopping off kids' genitals in the name of inclusion? Is that a thing for you?
I have to say.
You get off on that?
So stunned.
All right. When a biological man crushes a girl in a contact sport and sends her to the ER, is that your idea of empowerment? Is that empowerment? Empowering women when a young man beats a girl and takes her sends her to the ER in a contact sport, is that empowering women? Is that what that is?
Are you talking about Miss McNabb?
I'm talking about any woman who gets crushed in a sport by a man physically and has to go to the ER.
Ms. McNabb and others.
I'm going to reclaim my time.
Concussion protocol.
Ms. Madam Chair, we'll show that the witness. I'm going to reclaim my time. You can stop talking now. I'm reclaiming.
This is Ms. Mace's time, Ms. Goss Graves.
I would like some of that time back, Madam Chair. If a man can be a woman, just identify as a woman, as you say, just by saying so, what is the point of having women's sports? What is the point of women's spaces? What is the point of women's scholarships if you're just going to allow men to take them away? Why even bother? Why bother? The loudest voices, I'm not asking you a question, I'm speaking. The loudest voices on the left claiming to fight for women's rights are the very first people to take them away, steal them, and tear these women down. You're the first to erase them. Mr. Liefeld, Ms. Goss Graves, you all are shameful. I didn't come here to play with an ideology hell-bent on erasing women and grooming children. That's what you all are. You're groomers. And we're not going to. The chairwoman and I, Madam Chair, I'm going to claim that
this is Ms. Mace's time. Ms. Goss Graves. Ms. Goss Graves.
This is a shocking thing to say.
Ms. Goss Graves, you are not recognized.
Okay, but I think I just want to say that is a shocking.
You are not recognized, Ms. Goss Graves. The time belongs to Ms. Mace.
Okay, fine.
Like Chairwoman Graham, I've been holding the line for women, standing between perverts and the rights of women and girls. And we're not going to let anyone in this country forget what a woman is. Mr. Liefeld, will you face Ms. Stephanie Turner today? Will you look her in the eyes? Will you apologize to her for the way that she was treated by USA Fencing, standing up for women and girls, women's rights, standing her ground as a woman who only wanted to fence with other women? Will you apologize to her today?
Congresswoman Mace, Ms. Turner was given a black card under our rules.
Will you apologize for the way she was treated? So that's a no.
So,
Congresswoman,
if I could respond to one thing.
You know what's unbecoming of a leader? You said this just in your testimony just like 5 minutes ago.
Yes, ma'am.
That you've said several things that are just disgusting and unbecoming of a leader, to use your words. It's unbecoming of a leader today to acknowledge what has happened to this young woman. You just look at her face and look what she has been through and the courage it took her to stand up for her rights as a woman and other women in other sports all across the country. And you can't even, as a man, look her in the eye and apologize for what happened to her. And as not one. And I yield back.
There you are, huh?
The gentlelady yields.
How did we get to the point? Look, you better get me. You better hear me.
That girl could be a juror on the jury of your peers. Both that woman and that man could sit on a jury of you and have totally, completely loony belief systems, friends. That's part of what we're doing. And the job, somebody help me out here. I'm not an attorney. I guess I'm the father of one. Part of the jury selection is to try to find somebody who agrees with you theologically. That maybe that's not the right word. Philosophical, has the same belief system as you. How did we get to the point in America today where women fought so hard for equal rights? Now women are silent when those rights are being abused. David Arthur, what do you think about that? Let me get Johnny in here. Folks, these are the things. Again, I'm sorry. Hang on a second. Pull up for me. I'm not going to read it. Where is it? Pull C up. I wrote this today, and I don't care. I'm not going to read it all. I'll put it in the chat. I want you all to read it. Folks, I wrote this on 6/4/14. So what? Say, Coach, that's 11 years ago. Yeah, it's 11 years ago. I was saying 11 years ago, here's where we're heading. Here's where we're heading. Folks, they are grooming all of us. They're not just trying to groom you into homosexuality or groom you into adultery. They're trying to groom your mind into believing things that are not true. And Scott Shara is risking everything based on people he don't even know if they think straight. He doesn't even know. Because our experts clearly cannot think straight, right? Okay, hang on. Jeremiah 5, I'm just going to read a little bit of this, okay? Remember, go back and read it on your own. 6/4/14. What is today? 6/5. 11 years ago. Wow. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that sets snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Benny, give me an amen. Somebody give me an amen. Their houses are full of deceit. Congress is full of deceit. Therefore, amen, they are become great and waxen rich. They have become fat. They shine. Yea, they pass over the deeds of the wicked. They look the other way against the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy, do they not judge? Shall I not visit for these things, says the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?
Boom.
Wow. Wow. Judgment's coming, brothers. Johnny, come on in. Put this in the chat.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Good morning, everybody. That what we just witnessed, everybody, is the essence of spiritual warfare. That just that little example right there of that. She just in there conniving and just that's the enemy. That is what the enemy does, and he does it everywhere, on every angle, on every corner, and that's
in your schools, Johnny. In our schools, they're doing it, Johnny.
It's everywhere. So how do we defeat it? Tell me, how do we do that?
We stand up and speak the truth. We make our voices be heard.
Amen.
That's why, if you continue to read the commentary, what was the title of it? Go back there. Go back to that, Spence, if you could, real quickly. Hang on. I'll get you guys in there. Hang on. Spencer, can you bring that commentary back up, please?
It's why the pulpit's silent, I believe.
Yeah. Go at the top. What's the top of it? And the pulpits are still silent. Because I wrote this back in 2014. The title in 2014 was, and the pulpits are silent. When I rewrote this or just edited it, I said, and the pulpits are still silent. Scroll on down, Spencer. Scroll on down a little bit. Okay, folks, come on. You're big boys and girls. Keep going down there. Keep on going. Okay. Here you go. Gambling's promoted in our public schools are destroying the faith of Christian children. Legislation is introduced to remove the rights of parents. Children are taught they came from apes. Millions of children are medicated to control their baby, but the pulpits are silent. This was 11 years ago. Gambling is promoted for to schools. Babies are murdered in the womb. Planned Parenthood kills babies with their tax dollars. Judges make law. Yep, the pulpits are silent. 11 years ago, tolerance trumps truth. Homosexual sodomy perversion is granted legal protection. Institutional marriage is crumbling. Our president in 2014 says the Sermon on the Mount justifies homosexual marriage, and the pulpits are still silent. Government has replaced God as a defender and provider. Faith-based initiatives invite the government into the church. IRS muzzles the voice of the church. Taxes are levied to do the work of the church, and the pulpits are still silent. Church locks arms with compassionate conservatism. Children's services agencies separate family members. Self-help books replace the Bible. Purpose-driven life is elevated above dying for self, and the pulpits are still silent. George W. Bush says Christians and Muslims worship the same God. Our Constitution is ignored. Pagans pray to open a session of Congress. Our elected officials lie, cheat, and steal. The pulpits are silent. Private property is stolen by the government. Green Earth is protected more than Father God. Illegal aliens run over our borders. The American presidency is more anti-Christian than any house in history. The entertainment industry celebrates and promotes debauchery. That the pulpits are silent. Could a mariner sit idle if he heard the drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort, let his patients die? Hear that, Paul? Could a fireman sit idle and let men burn and give no hand? How can you sit at ease in Zion when the world around you is damned? Billy Sunday said churches don't need new members half so much as they need old members made over. There wouldn't be so many non-churchgoers if there were not so many non-going churches. Wow, that's a line. Too many churches, little more than four walls and a roof, Billy Sunday. Prophets prophesy falsely. Priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end? None call for justice, nor any plead for truth. They trust in vanity, speak lies, conceive mischief, and bring forth sin. And tragically, the pulpits are still silent. Can you give me a boom on that one? Will you? Give me a boom. 11 years ago. Come on in, Vinny.
Wow. I don't even know how to follow that, Coach. But I'll try to follow it with this. What they did, okay. What they tell us, the women, whatever they tell us the women's movement meant, right, Coach? What it really was, it was a bait and switch to tax women and get them out of the household so they could get to our children.
That's all it was, man. Huh? Not only that, Vinny, they got women out of the house and then put the kids in government schools where they could put this filth in their brains.
And right? Prey upon them, yes.
And as I said yesterday, friends, they're not public schools. They're paid for by the public. They're government schools. By the way, here in the state of Ohio, there's a legislation that's been introduced to do away with property taxes. Property tax. I don't know about you guys. How much you pay a month property taxes? Have any idea? Have you any idea? Michelle and I pay ours once a year. Our property taxes is like, I can't even tell you, nearly $6,000, $500 a month. That's a mortgage itself. No wonder people can't buy them. $5,000 per year. That's it, Beth. Yep. Huh? Property taxes? Really? You never own it. Young people can't buy houses. Jeff, come on in.
Well, Coach, going back on the transgender thing, I think that we just need to start asking a question and take the risk of being yelled at or take the risk of maybe getting punched. But just ask the question, are you stupid?
Well, are you stupid?
I'm being serious.
That's right.
Are you stupid? Jeff, everybody's afraid to say something.
Cowardly, correct. Maybe more than stupid. Cowardly, right? So that would be the question. Are you cowardly or just stupid? Are you a coward or are you just stupid? That's
I think you just got to be direct. Yeah.
Folks, does anybody watching this show right now believe that a man can be a woman? Anybody believe that? Now, look, not think they're a woman. We get the government to say, yeah, you're a woman. Oh, you got a penis? Yeah, you're a woman. Yeah, you're a woman. Huh? And these people are going to sit on jury trials? Scott Shire, maybe he's going to be have somebody on judging him who has no Christian understanding at all. As I said, it goes back when they set up the right of trial by jury. It's a Christian nation. We shared the same values. Now it's a crap shoot. Come on in, Jack.
Yeah. we've lost our ability to discern the difference between decorum and principle. When I talk to representatives, I mean, some of them are good people, but they're not going to do what whoever was said it. That's what you got to do. Are you stupid? What? We got to forget this decorum thing. It's just ridiculous. I don't want you to build bridges with these evil people. I want you to, if you're going to build a bridge, there better be a damn gate on each end. What is the matter with us?
Amen. What is the matter with us? Huh? Well, there's a lot of reasons. And the reason I always pointed at the pulpit is because the pulpit is a reflection of culture, or culture is a reflection of the pulpit. All those things that I went down and read there 11 years ago, folks, those, they've all gotten stronger. We have people in Congress arguing over what a woman is. We have a woman, we have a lady, Kijani, whatever her name is, sitting on the U.S. Supreme Court who could not identify a woman. And she's going to make law for all of the nation. Judah.
Yeah, Coach. You know, this is a... He says, what, are people stupid?
Yes. Cowardly or stupid? Sure. Cowardly or stupid?
Well, the reality is, it's spiritual blindness. Yeah. You know, John 9, 39-41, Jesus states that he came to give sight to the blind.
Mm.
Make those see who are blind.
Amen.
What people don't comprehend, and here's the interesting part. There's a massive thing going on. There's a trial. Everyone knows what it's about. And the defendant's attorney walks in with a mask on. Walks in with a mask on. Walks in with a mask on. Did I say that right? Walks in with a mask on.
And in Scott's trial, they did. Is that what you're saying?
No, we'll leave it as that. But
okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay, but following you.
In today's world, today is now June 5th, 2025. He walks in with a mask on. High profile trial. What's he signaling?
Mm.
What's coming out of China? What's coming out of the Philippines? What's coming out of this other stuff? Are we stupid? President Trump just sent an X message, I don't know, 4 or 5 days ago. He said, whatever you do, do not comply.
Mm.
If think about it, this is the mask. You guys might not see it. You might not see it. You're out in the country, or you're outside of the town. But you walk into the stores in the city again, walk into the restaurants again, and what are we starting to see? See, I don't watch the news that much. Like, I'll go find my clippings that I want to be able to my research on.
Me too. I don't watch the news. Me too.
But there's people now, they're putting masks on again. And this comes back to his topic. Are these people stupid? They're getting programmed by the TV. Someone now, again, in the world is telling people to put masks on again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I walk up to a guy at the grocery store, and I looked at him, and I said,
"Yeah, we have elected officials.
I really appreciate you. Hang on, I really appreciate you." And I asked these people, "Are you stupid?" "No. May I pray with you? You have spiritual blindness."
Amen. Amen.
And
amen.
I want to let you know, there's no fear that you have to put a mask on. And they just look at you like cow at a new gate. Like, what in the world are you doing? Like. They have so much fear, and that fear is spiritual blindness.
So Judd, would you think, I'm just asking, friends, do you think someone who could not define what a woman was should be on the Supreme Court deciding more complicated issues.
Exactly.
And we let that fly right by. That woman couldn't even tell you what a woman was, and yet she's on the Supreme Court of the United States. That shows you how far we've fallen. That's where we are.
Hey, Coach, just to add to that, though, Nancy Mace actually was on, say, with the COVID side or the part of the agenda for a period of time. What woke her up? She took the jab, and she's now permanently injured.
Yep, yep.
She'll tell you. She has a heart condition now. She's permanently injured. This is a person who now has been impacted by this, and they're now in the fight.
Amen. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. By the way, real quick, I'll get you in here, Joe Allen. JR's bill, I've got to make sure I get all this stuff in there. Folks, it has been introduced nationally. Pull up A. A. Now, hey, they changed it a little bit. Illinois Congresswoman proposes Family Month to counter Pride Month. Now, notice she didn't say natural family. But friends, I'm going to tell you something. If you cannot connect the dots back to J.R. Harrison, I don't know what to tell you. Illinois Congressman proposes Family Month to counter Pride Month. Now, let me stop a second. We got to be careful here. This is not about population, which is where they're trying to take it. It's not about it. David Arthur said something to me the other night that was really good. The argument is this, folks. Gay Pride Month isn't about me. It isn't about me. It's about the gays. It's about them. It's not about me. Natural Family Month ain't about the homos. It's about us. Right? Veterans Day isn't about us. It's about the veterans. Martin Luther King Day isn't about us. It's about Dr. Martin Luther King. Christmas isn't about us. It's about the celebration of Christmas. But we let them see, we let them make the argument that it doesn't include them. Hey, folks, I don't feel included in Gay Pride Month. Does anybody else feel included in that? Do you have to be that? David Arthur, come in quickly. Explain that, David. You did a good job of that. I'll get you, Joe.
I celebrated Pride for 30 years. And now I want to celebrate the Natural Family Month. And they're trying to tell me that I can't because it doesn't include them. Well, the spotlight has been on them long enough, and it's time for us to use their own deflection against them and say, right. Well, wait a minute. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Why can't I celebrate Natural Family Month? Why can't I? Why are you being such a hypocrite? Why are you so entitled? You have everything. You have the spotlight on everything. You have supermarkets that are flying rainbow flags. You have all kinds of inclusivity and DEI programs. What is wrong with you that I can't now celebrate Natural Family Month? And really, that's the argument. It's not about you. It's not about you. And that's the problem. That's the issue. Is it's not about them. As soon as that word natural comes into it, they know it's not about them. And then they start screaming, just like a child does, because it's not about them.
Hey,
and
David,
it's time for us to be the adults in the child's life.
Hey, folks, I don't know if you know this or not. I'm not a mother, but I celebrate Mother's Day. And my wife isn't a father, but she celebrates Father's Day. Because why? It's about that group of people. We're celebrating that group of people. But if you happen to be gay, oh, now it's bigotry. You understand how the game's played? Huh? Get it? Joe Allen, come on in, Joe.
In legal terms, stay or common practice. With the alphabet soups, you look at money and health care. Is it common practice with the alphabet soup to have surgeries under health care? Biggest thing is out there is being to have coverage over what you want to have sexual change. Does my health insurance cover me? That's why you see a lot of them start up doing this, and then they get penalized or imprisonment to go in prisons to have their sexual change done. Oh, I had this before I came in. They don't have coverage. So they're trying to make this a common practice.
That's right. That's right. So they get coverage. Well, they're winning. They're sure is winning because the pulpits are silent, right? Hey, folks, getting your penis cut off is elective surgery. Do you understand that? Why would we be paying for elective surgery? Somebody help me out with that one. Huh? Dale.
Well, Coach, I wouldn't call that elective surgery because 20 years ago we would have looked at that. This person needs mental help. I'm just saying, and that's not being rude and obnoxious.
Amen, Dale.
Coach, I go back 20 years ago, we would look at that and say, sir, we need to bring you over here. We need to help you. You obviously. And that Supreme Court judge, she knows, Coach, sure. But she hates the truth. She hates the truth. What? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They hate Christ. They hate anything of God. That spirit of Antichrist, as John, the epistle of John said, he says there are many Antichrists in the world, and that's exactly what that is. It's an anti-God. It's an anti-anointing spirit, and it hates anything that is of God. And, Coach, the last thing, how about the judge in Boulder, Colorado yesterday, right? We have illegal immigrant come in and blow up a parade with Molotov cocktail ball, and Trump wants to get them out of the country, and the judge does what? Blocks them from being deported.
There's a devil loose, Steele. There's a devil loose. And we're supposed to be the resistance. We are supposed to be the antibiotic to all this stuff that's going on. And the pulpits are silent. We're selling Joel Osteen books and Rick Warren books and self-help books. In the meantime, the culture is disintegrating. Craig.
All goes back to Egypt, Coach. All goes back to Egypt. So I put in the chat, this is, okay, what the Hebrew calendar would call it, the month of Tammuz is coming, okay? So let's just do a little background on this. Jesus was crucified in the month of Nisan, and then within 3 months' time, they make it to Mount Sinai. Okay? Now, Moses is up on the mountain for 40 days getting the God's laws, okay? And what are the people doing? They're playing and making a golden calf. They want, you know, they're Egypt, right? And then the month of Tammuz falls into this period of time, okay? And so what you're doing I'd have to go back and look at this again, but I think when the Supreme Court made the decision, the Obergefell's decision, I think it was the 17th of Tammuz that particular year, because you got to mix the Gregorian calendar Hebrew. Okay, it's like a liter of gasoline in Canada and a gallon of gasoline in America. It's both gasoline, but there's different amounts. Okay, what? But anyways, what I'm just trying to sit there and say is this is spiritual. This is going back to when Moses was on the mountain and the people were playing for 40 days, and that's why this is Pride Month. It's arrogance.
Mm.
It's rebellion. It's denying Yahweh and the power and the authority, okay? And so this is what you're seeing here. I'm just trying to connect the dots back to Egypt. And here's what's really interesting, Coach. I just picked this up today. And if you look in the chat here, it says, this is back in 1313. This is when they say, you know, this person in particular saying, hey, this is 1313 before Christ, okay, 00. Tammuz 17, today in Jewish history, and that's when he comes down, and that's 3 years to the date that Jesus rose from the cross, because Jesus rose on Nisan 17. Do you see the connection in all those here? Okay, so 3 months time from the crucifixion to the cross, Moses comes down with the tablets and he's throwing them down, breaking them. He say, what the heck is wrong with you guys? You don't even know a guy's a guy and a girl's a girl. That's where we're at today.
That's right.
They were making a golden calf wanting to go back to Egypt.
The author of confusion. Satan is the author of confusion. Friends, they're teaching this stuff in your school. They're teaching this stuff not only to your grandchildren. Well, you say, well, we homeschool. We Dobbin Meyer's homeschool. But I'm paying for them to teach this stuff to our children. Gay Pride Month in our schools, hanging flags about homosexuality in our schools. Now, who's the only one that's going to oppose that? I suppose some good old boys who aren't saved, just some good old country boys, they might oppose it. Probably not. Are the pastors going to oppose it? Wouldn't that be their job to oppose that? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful work. Is there anything more unfruitful than homosex? Unfruitful, meaning it produces nothing. A behavior, a human behavior designed to create. Means nothing anymore. If it feels good, do it. And we look at what's going on with Natural Family Month, and now they pull out natural. Now they just call it Family Month. We are in a constant state of compromise. We are afraid of the devil. We're afraid what they're going to say. We're afraid that they're going to put. We had a conference call last night, excuse me, regarding this issue, Natural Family Month. We had a conference call last night. And whether we know it or not, we're all a bit cowardly. We're afraid that we might say something that's going to make the other side mad. And we know this, the other side plays mean. They play mean. Well, let me ask you something. Why don't we? Why don't we play mean? Am I allowed to be a Christian and go out on the football field and knock down everybody on the other team the best that I can? I'd be a hero, wouldn't I? Why? Yeah, because I'm giving it my all. Why are Christians not taught to give it their all against wickedness?
Right on, Coach.
Thank you. Because why? We've been taught that God is love. He loves everybody. Who are you to judge? Didn't I read that? Something about evil men have crept in. Didn't I read that somewhere? They changed the truth of God into a lie. I think I read that somewhere. I think it's right out of the Bible. And so what was one of those lies? Oh, that's right. Don't judge. Tolerate. Be kind. Love everybody. Certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Huh? What? Ungodly men turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness. We now have men standing in the pulpit making excuse for blatant anti-God sin, telling us we're supposed to love it.
Boom.
Right? Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is behavior without control. No controls. And when we turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, we deny the only Lord God, Jesus Christ. He died that we would stop doing this crap. You get it? That's where we are. And I hate to be redundant. No, I don't. Being redundant, the church is the answer. Folks, unrighteous people are not going to pass righteous laws. It's not going to happen. And the churches have decided they're not going to get involved politically. What a mess. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, you said something earlier that really kind of struck a bell for me. We're all being groomed to compromise. We're all being groomed to allow evil. And you and I, as righteous men, can compromise on a righteous concept and come out with a righteous statement. But you cannot compromise with evil and not come out with evil. It doesn't happen. It can't work. And we never know how to draw the line. We are absolutely groomed.
Bible says there wasn't one fellowship of light with darkness. What are we doing agreeing with their rules? What fellowship is that, right? That's what we've been taught. See, that's some of the subtleties in the pulpits. Who can argue with love everybody, brother? Who can argue with that? I mean, that sounds good. Don't judge. That sounds good, doesn't it? You want to be a good Christian person? Don't judge. Evil men have crept in. Where? They changed the truth of God into a lie. They're teaching us stuff that's unbiblical, unchristian. Mary Beth.
Hey, what was just said a minute ago? Well, in our town, they are proposing a sanctuary city. Well, they say they're not, but that's what Jack was just talking about. Like, they're just conditioning us, getting us ready. So I have been, you know, like, I decreeing and declaring that that flag will not go up at all. That
Amen.
Thinking LGBTQIA flag will not go up. And we will not become, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I remember Chuck Spengola just passed. Chuck just passed. Went to jail on Gay Pride Month in Columbus, Ohio, the Gay Pride Parade, when they flew the flag outside of the state house. Chuck climbed up the flagpole, pulled it down. They threw him in jail. We need some more Chuck Spengolas. Dave, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Coach. Great teaching. It's interesting that the article that you posted about the family month is a counter to Pride Month. It's, they always make any us look divisive, right? That's a divisive statement. But if you celebrate Pride Month, that's your being inclusive. They're all inclusive, right? We're celebrating yep. Pride Month. But if you celebrate, or if you mention Natural Family Month or Family Month, well, you get, that's being divisive.
Yep, that's right.
See, that's how they manipulate us. And that's a form of manipulation just in that title of that article.
So Dave, one of the things we have to ask ourselves this, because we have super majorities here in Ohio, meaning over 2/3, we can override a veto. Republicans can override a veto in Ohio, House and Senate, right? There should be no reason we would lose this. There would be no reason we would lose it other than what? Some of those Christian people we're talking about right here. Certain men crept in unaware before it was ordained to this common ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord into lascivious. We have people claiming to be Christians who aren't. Betty.
Yeah, I've been getting notices, and I don't know if it's true or not, but word about July 4th and the terrorists, and it's supposed to be worse than 9/11. So yesterday I get a notice from Ohio County, which is Wheeling, West Virginia, that they canceled all their fireworks displays for 4th of July.
That's where we are, isn't it, Betty? That's where we are. Unbelievable. Craig.
Well, this is where the God works in cycles of things, right? So this year is going to be the 10th anniversary since the Oberfeld's decision, right? Mm. This is when
10 years ago, they overturned abortion.
June 26, 2015. I think we're in 2025. All right. So when June 26 happens, it will be 10 years over America. That basically the federal government, the way it's set up, the court system, stuck its fist and said, I will redefine what marriage is.
Yep.
Okay. So God's been patient. Is he going to be continuing to be patient against that? This is all, what you're talking about here is the outflow of what happened 10 years ago. You wouldn't probably have these discussions right now to the extent that we're having them if the Supreme Court had not done that.
Good point.
That's why Daniel fasted for 10 days. Remember, he didn't eat vegetables, you know, he ate vegetables for 10 days. Okay, there's 10 commandments. There's 10 of this. There's a power of this coming on right now in the spirit realm about this.
Great. The Supreme Court does not have the power to redefine marriage.
No, it surely doesn't.
Doesn't.
No.
And we've let it, haven't we? We've let it.
Right. And, well, so the people, right. And so people need to rise up and do the right thing. Okay, but that's why you're seeing all this 10 years later. And it's a spiritual thing on a spiritual calendar.
Yep, it is.
Oh, my goodness. Rise, O church, huh? And the pulpits are still silent. See you tomorrow.